church and blues music on the radio coming in from Memphis. She was orphaned at the age of 11, moved to Chicago in her early 20s, got married and began working cleaning houses in Chicago's northern suburbs, and then heading back to the south side where she lived. It wasn't long before she began sitting in, singing with some of the best, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Buddy, B.B. King. She got her break in 63 when Willie Dixon asked her to record for him, and she had a big hit, Wang Dang Doo, in 1966. She's been recording and touring ever since, winning 25 Blues Music Awards, a Grammy, a National Heritage Fellowship Award, and many, many other prizes. They say, folks, that there are lots of kings of the blues, but there's only one queen of the blues. And from Chicago, Illinois, would you please help me welcome to E-Town for her first visit, Queen of the Blues, Coco Taylor.
Thank you.
treat to have you here in E-Town.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor for me to be here, and I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, good. Can you tell us a little bit about the little town? Is it Bartlett, Tennessee? Is that where you...
Bartlett, Tennessee was where I was born.
Where you were born, yeah. So what was that place like?
What was it like?
Yeah.
It was like any country that you ever saw. Cotton, corn, black-eyed peas, and everything else. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And I did it all.
Yeah. And you sang in church.
Huh?
Did you sing in church?
Yes, I did. Every Sunday, me and my sisters and brothers, we had to sing in church.
Is that where you got the idea that you were a singer, or was it later than that?
Well, God gave me the talent. And when I was growing up, when I was little, me and my brothers and sisters, we'd be in the back of the house singing blues. Something we heard on the radio. We didn't know about music like I know today.
Yeah.
But I knew enough to sing, "Won't you be my chauffeur?" They would play that every day in the week.
What did your parents think about that kind of song?
Their parents didn't know it. Didn't nobody know about that but us.
So did you have some favorite singers when you were listening to the radio back then? Were there some favorite voices that you tried to copy?
Oh, that I tried to copy all of them. Anybody I could think of, this would do some of this one's song and that one's song.
Like Memphis Minnie?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah,
Memphis Minnie was one of the favorite people was out during that time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I would always sing, her song.
Now, you were orphaned at 11, so your life must have changed in a big way with that.
Yeah, it was rough for us. Yeah. It was six of us, three girls and three boys. And we was raised what we called back in those days, we called from pillar to post. You know, we didn't have no special study home here. We sleep here tonight and two or three nights, and another two or three nights we go stay with an auntie. Another three or four nights we go somewhere else. But anyway, every night we had somewhere to sleep. We had a plate to eat out of. It wasn't no fancy food, but we was full. Most of the time, me and my brothers and sisters, we had cornbread that we crumbled up in some buttermilk. And that was our dinner. But we was full. And once you get full, it don't make no difference what you ate. Back of the bus. I got in the same time them people.
You also had your secret boyfriend in the back of the bus, too, right?
He's back that way now.
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you a little bit. So I know when you got to Chicago and you had to take some jobs, you were working for, you know, helping people with their families and their houses and stuff. But you and your husband, as I understand it, because you married the boyfriend.
Yeah, I should be, but I ain't got him now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sorry about that.
Well, I ain't.
Talk about here we are, you've got 25 WCEG Awards.
Yeah.
Grammy Award, you're in film and TV, a National Heritage Fellowship Award from the NEA. This is big stuff. And when you look back on the things you've done, including that first night that you got up and sang in that Chicago club when your cousin asked you to, is there anything that was like a real highlight for you?
Yes, it was. I was very honored then, and I'm still honored about that first night that the people paid attention to what I was doing and gave me a chance to come up and sing. Now, when they called me up to sing, I didn't have no idea it would turn out like it did. But they start calling me to sing at different clubs and things after that. And I would go on the weekend, Saturday night, you know, do two or three times, and that went on until, you know how that go, things start at the bottom and go to the top,
right.
And it just got bigger and bigger, better and better, and hey, here I am today.
That's a great story.
Singing all over the world.
That's a great story. Speaking of all over the world, I noticed there was a photograph of you. Pine Top Perkins in Spain about a year ago. As, is that a connection, a friendship that's gone on for quite a while?
That won't go to my good friend. We've been together for years, you know, singing in different places and, you know, like that. And I enjoy being with them, you know.
Yeah, well, it's, I'm so glad that you were both able to come to be with us this week.
But. Yeah, I love them. You know, I've been knowing them ever since I've been in Chicago. They're nice guys.
Well, listen, people here are ready to hear you sing. And so am I. So we'll get back to music. But I really appreciate once again stopping by. Thank you for telling us a little bit about your story. And we'll spend some more time later on. Welcome back, if you would, along with your fabulous band, the Blues Machine. Queen of the Blues. Come thank you. Coco Taylor, the blues machine, along with Calvin Love, Mel Smith, Shun Kakuta. Sorry. Hey, give me a little more of that applause, would you? Just clap on the hand. That for a minute, a year before World War I, a year after the Titanic, at the age of 14, he started playing in just the neighborhood on guitar and piano, and he later focused on the piano, got to tour throughout the Mississippi Delta in the 30s and 40s. He worked with Sonny Boy Williamson and Robert Nighthawk and B.B. King and Earl Hooker. Most of you got to know him as a longtime member of Muddy Waters' band, starting in the late 60s. It wasn't until he was in his 80s that he really came out as a front man, and he's won all kinds of prizes, too, including a lifetime achievement award at the Grammys and National Heritage Fellowship, also from the NEA. Tons of blues music awards, so many, in fact, they named the award after him after a while. Please welcome him. In his 95th year, the amazing, really American musical treasure, Mr. Pine Top Hurley.
Thank you.
Shave and a haircut and 2 pence, is that what that is?
Really?
Well, Paz, I thank you for coming here to E-Town. We're so happy to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Next month, July 7th.
95, July 7th. And for those of you listening on the radio, all I can say is you're missing out on a splendid sight. You're looking very good tonight, Paz, I have to say. I was talking to Coco Taylor before, and I asked her about her hometown. Can you tell us a little bit about Belzoni, Mississippi?
That's my hometown where I was born there, man.
Yeah. What was it like?
All right.
It was all right.
All right. Yeah. All right.
And how about growing up, what kind of music did you hear when you were a kid? What kind of music did you hear when you were a kid?
Bluesy style.
Bluesy style, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to eat it, I just play it.
But you learned that. But
you, yeah. All right.
But you played play some other stuff too. Did you hear any New Orleans piano players or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I listened to them.
Yeah.
Picked up stuff from them.
I can tell you picked up stuff from them, yeah. And you were traveling in the 30s, playing all over the Mississippi Delta.
Mississippi Delta all overseas and everywhere we are. Jumping everywhere with muddy waters.
Yeah. But back in the old days, in the 30s, can you tell us what those places were like that you were playing in? Were they just clubs along the side of the road, or what kind of places were you playing?
Oh, man, there's a nice place we were playing at. I like to say.
Nice places.
There, look like a little of your joint, so.
Yeah.
That's it.
That sounds great.
Yes, you even have those 6 feet, faded tall mix. Back in the 20s.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to ignore the fact that you've also got somebody here who's, you know, Willie Big Eyes Smith is also was in Muddy Waters. Yeah. Now, were you already in Muddy's band when Pine Top? Use the mic there.
I was in the band when Pine Top joined the band. I had joined the band. I had been in the band since '61. But I took a little break. I was raising a family, so I kind of took a little break. And I went back in 68, Top came in 69, and the rest of that is history.
Yeah. And then you guys, that was such a legendary band. And speaking of which, you formed the legendary blues band. It's Jim and Haircuts. It's up to 6 bits now. With Pine Top and the legendary blues band, you got to travel a lot. You got to play shows with Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones, people like that. Did that feel like that bill was upside down in some way, or they had learned your songs and now you're opening for them? Did that feel backwards? Use the mic, David.
Not really. Music is music. So, I was friends with when they first started the Rolling Stones and then a lot of those guys. We got all. Pretty buddies, all but except the Rolling Stones, the rest of them used to come around when we were playing, you know, so
right.
I was like, there's a whole bunch of them. I wouldn't get into detail of trying to call all those names, but it was always fun because it was music, you know, it was kind of fun just to see the white boys kind of play the blues, you know.
I used to be a lot taller than I am. I got a feeling like I'm shrinking just a little bit. I appreciate it. It seems like you and Pine Top have a really nice connection together still after all these years. You guys seem really, really well suited to each other.
Well, my name is Willie G. Pine Top is my stage name. My name is Joe Willie Perkins.
Joe Willie Perkins.
Well, I got all my personal people like Pine Top. And a bunch of more Muddy Waters. That was one of my main albums, Muddy Waters, Lightning Hopkins, all those things. So I grew up on, so they was playing it before I was born, so I had to pick it up after them, but yeah. Something about it just just moving, I was so thrilled to get a chance to talk. Just like that song, Flavor, I never dreamed I would be working with them, but yeah, just to talk to them was a thrill. Again, next thing I knew, I was working with them, Henderson, them all over. Yeah.
And Willie, you were born in Arkansas, right?
Right.
And isn't that the name of your new CD, by the way?
That's the name of a new CD.
Born in Arkansas.
About 3 weeks now.
Yeah. And Pine Top, you've got a new CD also with a whole bunch of famous friends on it. You've got...
I play around like everybody wouldn't know me. All right.
Yeah. Here it comes. Yeah. I know that I should just tell the folks...
You want to work.
I know. I just want to say one thing about this CD, which is that, you know, you've got some very special guests, including B.B. King and Eric Clapton and other people on there who are just paying tribute to you.
A lot of different people.
Yeah. Well, anyway, all that stuff, you want to hear some of that, is on your new CD. Right now, let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, at almost 95 years old, along with his good friend, Willie Big Eye Smith, Mr. Pine Top Perkins. Thank you. Bob. Really big eye Smith. Great to see you again, Bob. Job for the friends. Oh, you can tell us, Mr. Teal.
But somebody told me they wanted me to go down in the basement. Y'all mind if I go to the basement?
No, no.
Do y'all mind if I go to the basement? That's just what I'm going to do, and I'm on my way.
I'm a rush.
coming. And he always do the best he can.
Thank you.
From the American landscape here at Chautauqua. It's especially gratifying to know that Chautauqua was only 15 years old when Pine Top Perkins was born, so this seems like the right spot for him. Almost as old as Chautauqua. When we are traveling, if you want to find out about more E-Town shows, again, etown.org, you can go find out about radio stations and upcoming shows. Our next stop is going to be in Michigan. 4th of July weekend, a big festival with a million huge people, giant people. So watch your mouth. It's called Rothbury, and we're going to tape a couple of shows. There's Dave Matthews and Widespread Panic and Michael Fontaine Spearhead and many more bands. Big time will be had by all 4th of July weekend, Rothbury, Michigan. And we will be there doing our own special thing, connecting the dots between music, the environment, and making communities a little stronger in our own special way that we've been doing for so long. So we will be there doing our thing. July, there's more stuff. August, there's more stuff. We're doing a show down at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. I'll say, right smack dab in the middle, on Tuesday night in the middle of the DNC at the Temple Buell Theater, the 26th of August, we will be doing, again, our special brand of entertainment and inspirational stuff with some big, giant, more giant people. Watch out for the giant people. I believe Pine Top's going to have some stuff to sell and sign after the show, and so be sure to get a chance to do that. And that's about, boy, you guys are so quiet. It's awesome. So, I think we're ready, so give me, before you start, don't start yet, give me the tail end of that big giant applause, if you would.
experience them. The legends, 175 years between them.